Egyptian, they had their own gods for a long time, right? Along come the Greeks a little bit later. What'd they have? They had a whole bunch of gods, right? And of course, the most powerful is Zeus, and you probably Poseidon, all those kind of people. And as I've gone through this with like with junior high kids or whatever, if they needed a new god, guess what? They just make one up. Yeah, okay. God of rain, god of the forest, god of the animals, god of the sea, god of war, god of, yeah. And then they pray to him and worship him, all that kind of stuff. Well, they didn't last too long, and along comes the Romans, right? Roman rule. And they had what? Basically the same gods, just different names and a little bit different things. My clip art, whatever, not quite as cool as the other one, but Jupiter, the big god, and then Diana, and okay, all this kind of Pluto, Mars, how about Neptune? Guess where some of our planets are named after? Still around today. I mean, those have faded, right? But let's get into days. Being a teacher, I give you a quick quiz. This would represent what religion?
Hinduism.
And mainly out of
India.
And they have, I don't know how many gods. I did try to do some research too, because it starts with Brahman. Brahma cattle, Brahman. And then basically I think you can eventually have your own god. Which makes sense because, right, everybody wants their own god. Mainly India, a little bit of Nepal, Pakistan, that area over there. Third largest religion. That's pretty good. The major writings. The point is, they had these writings, and that's what they still follow. The Bhagavad Gita. I remember, that's a cool name, man. Bhagavad Gita. Major tenets, reincarnation. Why don't they eat their cattle? Us here in Nebraska just pull our hair out like you have all these people and you don't eat the cattle? Why not? Because they believe you are reincarnated. And that cow was somebody back there, and the dogs run wild, and they don't do that. They eat a lot of the vegetables, all right? The caste system. The caste system is still around. We've got a Norris girl, former student down by us. She's a missionary over in, well, she started in India. Now she's in Bangladesh, but she was in India and working with the ladies in the prostitution ring, the slums, trying to get them out of there and educated and jobs and stuff. She's over in Bangladesh now, but I talked to her one time about the caste system because these ladies, the prostitution, it goes on. They know there's big slums and everything, and men come. And anyway, it's a way of making money, right? I mean, age old job. Well, why don't they get them out of there? Well, she said, because they believe once you're born into that system, that's who you are. That's you know, you're supposed to be there, and you won't be able to get out of it because it's a caste system. It still goes on. Our friend Craig, or our son Craig, had some friends in Detroit who are Indian, and they had to marry what? You have to marry somebody in your own caste system. That's very crucial. It's like, we can't relate to it. And eventually you get to have this karma. I don't know. Anyway, that's Hinduism in a nutshell. This one is Buddhism, the enlightened one, the sitting in the, okay. Well, where did that come from? China, Nepal, the Buddha, special guy. There was a Buddha. He wrote some stuff, was a leader. I don't think he was really a leader, like really trying to create anything. Just had some writings, ideas about life and all that kind of stuff. You want to achieve enlightenment? I achieved that when I married Nancy. I mean, we sit out on the acreage and we just, okay. Eliminating suffering and to get to nirvana. And the Dalai Lama is still around. He's about 90, I guess, but he was exiled a long time ago. So 400 million followers, mainly over there, China, all right? But Buddha, Well, of course, in Nebraska and other places in the whole U.S., we got what? We got all kinds of religions, so they're around, all right? All right.
Islam.
The Kaaba. This is over in Mecca, the holy city that you pray to, right? There is Abraham's bones, or there's some special rock or whatever, okay? Millions go there every year, and they walk around, circle, and pray, and forgive me, but my Roman Catholic background just, you know, they just do these things because they're told to, and they dress up, and they walk around seven times because seven is a perfect number, right? I mean, Islam. Well, who was it started? Well, we know. Now, this is quite later, right? This is, Muhammad was a lot later than these Greeks and Romans and all that kind of stuff. So over in Saudi Arabia, Medina started, second largest, and I don't know about you, but like Tuesday with New York City and everything, this is, I think, the scariest thing for the United States, because they want to take over the country. I mean, and they are making inroads. Our son Craig was at Flint, Dearborn. Dearborn, Michigan is basically Muslim. It's parts of Minneapolis, St. Paul, Sudanese, Muslim. They're second biggest and growing, and they want to take over. And they're so sneaky, they're going to follow our laws. They're going to get people elected until, and I wish Lyle was around, because if you had to, Lyle did some excellent, excellent presentations on Islam. They will lie. They're told to lie. The Quran. Muhammad didn't really write the Quran. His followers did, but he had these visions. So this one guy with these visions, Buddha, one guy with the teachings, Hinduism, there were several people, prophets, writings, but, and they do say in the Quran, I've read this I don't know how many times, to kill the infidel. Who are the infidels? Christians and Jews. It just says right there, the followers of the book, the Bible. Do they want to implement Sharia law? The answer is yes, they do, and they will, and I don't know how the Americans, politics, we won't get into that, but the way they treat women and the way they do Sharia law, and they're scary. We're here in Nebraska, maybe kind of sheltered a little bit, but Omaha, I don't know. All right, big religion and growing. They want to repopulate. They have more kids. Their growth pattern is more than our normal families. All right. Mormons. Joseph Smith had this in the forest, and he was enlightened, and he found these gold tablets. Where are those gold tablets? Nobody knows, because he took them back. But he transcribed them and made all this. It was old writings, and he translated it, and it was. Now, if any Mormon studies the life of Joseph Smith, they should say, this is nuts. He was a scoundrel. He married I don't know how many people and a young girl, and he got kicked out of a couple places because of their teaching, and financially he had these visions. Prophet, I believe it's called Moroni, but if you really, it's moron. With I think it's called, don't insult him. It's, anyway, he had these, I think it was an angel, Latter-day Saints, 17 million followers. I read enough articles where they say the Mormon church is the richest church in America, and it's like, well, I don't know where you get your data, because the Catholic church is all over the world, and they own all the monasteries and all the churches and all of the, excuse me, all those, anyway. So, all right. I heard Ellen DeGeneres, but no. No, but that's my hearing. Close, yeah. Ellen G. White, Seventh-day Adventist. And I bring this up because her writings are extensive. That's what they really go after, not after the Bible. Are they the closest to us than maybe some of these others? Yeah, closest. 1863, after our country, you know, got through the Revolutionary War and got things settled in the Louisiana Purchase, and it was growing and stuff. Guess what? We have the freedom of religion, so guess what? Things popped up, right? She had these visions, whatever, writing. She wrote a lot, and it's all based on Saturday, Seventh-day Adventists, 23 million followers. And here in Lincoln, guess what? They have a pretty good, over there, 48th and that big church and other places. They follow a lot of dietary things out of the Old Testament. But who is Jesus? Main thing, Ellen G. White's writings. Charles Taze Russell. Ever heard of him? Jehovah's Witnesses. Are they around? Sure they are. Those of you that have lived in Lincoln long enough, Bob Devaney Sports Center, they always had a summer get-together where they baptized a lot of people in the pool. And I don't know about you, but we've had, when we used to live in Lincoln and even out on the acreage, they would come just about every year, about June, right? And we had a few good discussions. I don't know if we had any impact on them, but who is Jesus Christ? The first, the last, the Alpha and the Omega? 9 million followers, a little bit after Ellen G. White and, Seventh-day Adventists, okay? And there's more we could talk about. I mean, I'm not even going to bring up the Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church or some of these other, the Methodist Church. We're just kind of going on some of the bigger ones. The true Christianity, right? True Christianity, that's what we want. The Bible's the inspired word, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man. How is this different? Well, not just one man's opinion or one woman's opinion or special writings. 40 different authors, 66 books. The Apocrypha for the Catholic Church takes. The Jews never accepted the Apocrypha, and it was written before Christ. So 66 books, 3 different languages, although not much in Aramaic. I mean, there's just a little in Aramaic. 3 different continents, Asia, Europe, Africa. 1 main message, right? We know that. It all ties together, Old Testament, from Genesis all the way through who is Jesus Christ. And I have to watch myself a little bit. I've got, these people at Pemberley Place. I don't know exactly their background. They keep coming back, so that's good. But you know what? Everybody knows there's a God. Everybody. How do we know? Well, just out of Romans, this is one verse. I like this verse the best because at the end, they know about God because it's evident, because made within them. Every culture that you study has what? Some kind of God. The Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, the Native Americans. Why? Because it's just part. There's more to this life than just what we see, right? I mean, we know that to be true. So they worship something. The question is, who, what? It's evident within them. Jim's going to go through Genesis and then the law and everything. And why is murder wrong? Oh, it's just cultural. No, murder's wrong because we know it's that. That's. Why is abortion wrong? Because it's murder. Oh no, it's not. Yeah. Okay. All right. Gospel of John. Jesus Christ came along. And as you go through the Gospel of John, we're only to about at chapter 6 at Pemberley Place, but we can take some other verses. Jesus, this is right after what? He clears the temple. And he says, take these things away, stop making my Father's house. Now right there, the Jews would have said what? Wait a minute. My Father's house? Who are you? Your Father's in heaven. This is my Father's place. Quit doing that. How do you have the audacity? How do you have the power to do that? Because he's the Son of God. John 3:16. Everybody knows that, right? Should have been flashed at last night's Husker football game. Maybe that would have helped. I don't know. Just a little bit extra. But Mario and I were doing Monday night evangelism one summer a few years ago. Came across about a 21-year-old guy, and we stopped and talked about Jesus and said, have you read John 3:16? Never heard about John 3:16. Well, we get to share with you, right? Whoever believes. But the point is, God sent his son. It's not about philosophy. It's not about writings. It's not about a particular leader that has charisma and all that kind of stuff. It's about God sending his son to us. And I won't bring it up probably later, but now that I'm thinking about it, those of you, I think most all of you, except maybe the youngsters in the back there, Reverend Sun Yung Moon. Did that ring a bell? The Moonies. Why would people follow after somebody like that? Because they have charisma and they get crowds together, and I don't know. I think the Moonies are still around. Why? Because somebody over in Korea? Anyway. The woman at the well. We don't go through the whole discussion, but at the end she says, I know that Messiah, because the Old Testament, the Jews, the Messiah is coming, the bright and morning star, the root of Jesse, all those kind of things. Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will declare to us all things. And he said to her, he doesn't say I'm he, it says I am, but that's the point. I am. I'm he. I'm the one. Again, declaring. There's a few times I've read where people said, well, Jesus never actually said he was God. He never actually claimed to be God. Well, study the scriptures. He said stuff like this all the time. Later on in John chapter 8, he says, I and the Father are one. They knew what that meant. All right? And she, I am he. I'm the one that has come. All right? A little later on in John chapter 5, he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, the Jews were seeking the more. It's amazing as you read the scriptures, the Gospels, it didn't take very long, and what? There was already plotting. There was already planning. We have to what? Get rid of this guy, because he's going to take our power. He's usurping us. So they knew what he meant. My Father's working. I myself am working. We're together. They were seeking to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesse, a few weeks ago, on along that line about the Pharisees and stuff, and to me, the Pharisees are just like the Catholic Church. You got to follow these rules. You have to do all this at certain days, certain times, all right? And if not, you're breaking the law. But Jesus broke the Sabbath. Why? Because he was the son of the Sabbath, the Sabbath maker. Later on, John chapter 6, again, I'm just kind of cutting in, but the Jews were grumbling. I don't know if you've witnessed anybody too much lately, but people get upset. Why? Because you insult my religion. We had a foreign exchange student 10 years ago from Germany, and he had to come with us to church, right? But Gil, well, you insulted our, he went after the Catholic Church. So he asked Marvin, you know, you go to church? Well, yeah. Christmas and Easter, yeah, we go. Yeah, but you insult them because what? You're not going to heaven just because of the works or because of belonging. Jesus here says, I am the bread that what? I came down out of heaven. How is that possible? Because he's the Son of God. Is this not Jesus? And I'm sure we would have said the same thing. Wait a minute, we know where you grew up. We know your mom and dad. We watched you as a kid. How can you say you come down to heaven? Well, he did. How can you do that? Later on, John 6. I'm going to get done early, Jim. Should I throw in some math? Yeah, good luck. Good luck. John chapter 6, he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him from the Father. As a result, this is where Peter chimes in and says, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the Holy One of Israel. But some of them withdrew. I come from the Father. It's been granted to me from the Father. As a result, people said, eh. How could it be any clearer? I use this verse probably more than John 3:16. There is no other way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father. After the resurrection, after all of that, first chapter of Acts, gathering his disciples. It's not for you to know the times and epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And people have trouble with the Trinity, right? How can the three be one? Well, I don't know. I guess when we get to glory, we'll understand that. We've got a funeral to go to tomorrow, North Platte, and we've had our neighbor's funeral just this past Monday. She was 67. One of these days, it's going to be us. But the Holy Spirit comes upon us. To me, it was March of 84. I remember clearly after going through that whole Catholic stuff. You shall be my witnesses, etc., etc. All right? This isn't all, but just kind of a brief summary. How is Christianity different? Well, the Trinity, okay, that's different. Jesus is God. That's different than a lot of different religions. Muslim, Jesus was a prophet. They talk about Jesus, but he was just a prophet, but not the Son of God, all right? Love your enemies. I keep thinking about those people that get beheaded. Does that still go on today? The answer is yes, in some countries. Praise the Lord for United States laws and our background, because that won't be tolerated. But over in other countries, look at a video. If you ever see a video on number 21, this was, I don't know how many years ago at our age. It could have been 10 years ago. I don't know. Over there, 21 guys were executed, beheaded. And there's a video that they made a video trying to explain it. They walked them out on the beach and recant. No, we're not going to recant. They chopped off their heads. So, and we're told to be expecting persecution because that's all part of it. Jesus said there would be persecution. Now, I do not nullify the grace of God. I love this verse. If righteousness comes through the law, I don't think I have a slide on this, but what does every other religion basically say? You must have some kind of works. You got to do stuff. The Catholic Church, you got to go to church, have Mass, the sacraments. Orthodox Church, faith and works. I was reading about Luther here. Oh, yeah, it was Reformation Day, right? 500 years ago. And he had trouble with James, as in the Epistle James, because faith without works is dead. So how do you your faith should have works. Not that it earns you, but all the other religions, go more, go to Mecca, do these things, follow the diet, you'll be closer to God. No. If Christ didn't die, if you could do that without Christ, he died needlessly. It's by grace, right? By grace alone, through faith alone. At the end, during his trials, which was a scam anyway, but Pilate, incredible conversation here. You're a king? Okay, won't go with the Trump thing, but okay. So you're a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly, I'm a king. I've been born for this. I come into the world to testify. I come into the world. Jesus Christ has been sent. It all fits together. God the Father, this great spirit, this amazing being, sent God the Son. When God the Son died, rose again, ascended, sent the Holy Spirit. Those last part there, isn't that, this is crucial for today, right? What is truth? And Nancy and I had this conversation, I don't know how many times. How do you know who to believe? How do you know what to believe? I had a very scary conversation with Steve Corsi. Oh, no. Steve Corsi's in. Oh, by the way, do you know Steve Corsi? He goes to our church. He's in my men's group. He's the CEO of the Department of Health and Human Services. Yeah, the SNAP program. He has nothing to do with it. It's Congress. But anyway, we had Garrett Hall, who's a teacher over at Elmwood. gave us a little introduction on AI. AI, it's scary. Really scary. He says, and I can see junior high, well, maybe not junior high. Yeah, junior high kids are old enough. They're pretty smart. If they get your picture or your video, I've got some YouTube videos, by the way, if you want to look them up. Anyway, Mathman Price. But if they get your picture, your video, and your voice, they can make you say just about anything. And then you see this video and you think, oh, well, Tom Price said that. No, I didn't. Because they can manipulate it with ChatGPT. Well, I don't know. It's scary. What is truth? Every time they come out with a poll about this person, you know, Biden or Trump or whatever, like, maybe, maybe not. Because it's hard to know what is truth, especially in our day. Well, truth is Jesus Christ, the Bible. Should have brought cookies. No, there's always time for question. The point is, Christianity is different for a lot of reasons, yeah. But God sent his son. Was there a Jesus Christ? Historically, yes. There was more written about him. There were witnesses. It's all been documented, and it's been changing the world ever since. Out of that little Jerusalem, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. But now I think it's kind of squishing in and getting smaller because all this other stuff going on. But all these other religions, somebody had a great idea, wrote a book, had a program, and then followers. And you talk to some of the people in Mormon church. I didn't realize Mesa, Arizona, part of the Phoenix group, but Mesa, Arizona is a big thing for Mormons. Well, what do they claim? They're the true church. What do the Muslims claim? They're the true church because Muhammad, right? He had the real revelation. Well, no, we have the Bible. We have it settled. It's been settled for 2,000 years. The question is, do you believe it, right? Belief. So, all right, skip the math. All right. I'm getting worse at the math, by the way, because after a while you don't use it. Questions, comments? Same with what about all of those, right? I'm Lutheran. I'm going to be Lutheran. Why? Because you grew up with it. Yes, it's got to be an act of God. But the truth, and that's where we come in, right? Well, we don't agree with you. Oh, why not? Isn't everybody going to heaven? No. I've told some people, I think my mom and dad are in hell. Why? You can't. They trusted in the Catholic Church until their death. Well, and I mean, I was there. I know what they believed. Yes, you're told that from little. It's hard to get out of that, yeah. Right.
And to add a comment, especially like the younger Mormon, they get disillusioned. So.
If they get disillusioned, they just kind of don't do anything. We have it so nice here in America. It's going to be freedom of religion. We got people can complain about. We have all these poor people. Have you read about the SNAP? I don't know. Did you? I saw this data. I know I have too much time on my hand, maybe a little bit, but I need some more tree jobs to keep me busy. But if you make 42,000 as a family, if you make less than 42,000 per year, you get the SNAP benefits, and the SNAP benefits are about like $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month? Well, they need groceries, and groceries are expensive. I know, but $1,000 a month because like. Our poor people are nothing like the poor people, South America, Africa, we got to help the poor. Well, anyway.
Then when they're interviewed, they're very heavy.
Heavy as in?
And weight. And I know carbs are probably cheaper.
Yeah.
They don't seem to be starving.
Yeah, or soda. They should eliminate any diet. You don't need soda.
Changing the subject a little bit with your background, how has Mary replaced Christ?
Oh, through the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got to go through Mary. Hail Mary. Why? Because she's the mother. She's the queen of heaven. And she answers your prayer. You've seen all the statues and everything. Yes, the Catholic Church has developed a whole theology of Mary because this other system, it's too patriarchal. It's too much guy. I mean, the guys wrote it and the guys, you know. So that's attractive, right? Especially in America because women's movement, all this kind of stuff. So, yes, I would agree Mary has replaced Jesus because Jesus will listen to his mother, just like at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. Go to the scriptures.